Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I just got back from Madison, Wisconsin, the University of and we had a forum there that was off the chain. I tell you, it was such a uplifting. I got a chance to tell people when you're being 5,000 to 10,000 people, and you get a chance to tell them about something that they never heard before. I got a chance to talk about the TIs for 2 hours. That's it. Target individuals. That was after I had told the story. It was so amazing. And I got a chance to pass out DVDs, hundreds of them. And now, believe me, they are really excited. There was something that they didn't know. These are professors, doctors, lawyers, people from all over the all neck of the world. They were there. They hear what Reverend Edward Pinckney had to say. I tell you, it was a thrill. I got a chance to give them some information that they never thought that would happen. They probably still don't believe it, but we're still working on them. Most of them was probably the upper middle class Caucasians. Probably about, I don't know, maybe 5,000 to 6,000 of them, plus other people that was there. But it was a tremendous show. And I also got a chance to talk about Florida and the boycott. The boycott is really on the move now. We have all kind of people now in support of the boycott. The Nation of Islam, you name it, Stevie Wonder, Bruce Springsteen, you name it. They are all supporting the boycott of all Florida products, and it appeared to pick up steam. There was several debates over the weekend and up in Florida about telling people not to do it. So it's obvious we're getting their attention. Also, even more important, the boycott of all Whirlpool products, every last one of them. KitchenAid, we want to make sure that nobody buys any of the Whirlpool products. We are having a tremendous time just dealing with this thing, not only with the boycott in Florida, but also we're talking about the boycott of all Whirlpool products. And like I said, I had the opportunity this weekend to do something really remarkable, to talk to some of these professors about target individuals. And some of them was very receptive to them. Others thought I was probably a nut, but that's okay. You see, you do what you're supposed to do, and that's what I did. And I'm spreading the word, letting people know, hey, you better take this thing seriously because it's happening whether you like it or not. And what they're doing really is just torturing people. And I use that word torturing because that's what they do. So we're going to continue with the show. We got a young man from Chicago, David Lowry. He'll be on today. He's going to talk to you about driving while black and some of the incredible work that he's doing. And also I got my very good friend, my main man, Larry Pinckney, going to be on. And he's about as exciting as you want to get about this show. And also we're going to have Judge Eve on. She's a T.I., a judge who, if a T.I., we'll be on the show today. So stay tuned. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, then we'll get right into our show.
To live at. I would
take my mental flight by Egypt. And I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt to across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, on toward the Promised Land.
Yes.
And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assemble around the Parthenon. And I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. Come on up even to 1863 and watch the vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation, and come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make, because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same: we want to be free. Men for years now have been talking about war and peace. But now, no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existence. That is where we are today. And so is the human rights struggle.
You are listening to the Pinckney and Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I have a very, very exciting guest to bring forward. My good friend, my guy, my man, David Lowry, Chicago, the former president of the NAACP who've been fighting. He's been fighting with his heart to bring justice to the city. David Laurie, are you there?
Hey, Rev, thank you. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good, good, Rev. First, let me give all praises to God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for making it possible for me to be here to be on your show today. Now I'm good to go.
Hey, all right. See, that's what I want to hear. We got to get all praises to the Lord. And, I just thank God for bringing me over the highways and byways and bringing me home safely, because I tell you, it was a journey.
Well, Rev, out here is two leaders are working to do the Lord's work, and whatever means necessary that we have to do, we do it, and he takes care of us. I know every time that I go out and I'm somewhere where people might not like what I'm saying about telling the truth, then I know he got me, so I don't worry about that, man. We're his warriors, and he protects his anointed, so we're covered under the blood.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's just a blessing, and give us strength just to know that. Because I tell you, sometimes people don't like what you're saying. I had a chance to talk about, which is a very uncomfortable situation for most people, especially when they're pro-government, when you start talking about people being targeted, especially by our government, being microwave, all this other kind of stuff. And these was professors, these are doctors, these are lawyers, these are the probably the upper middle class that I was talking to. But the point was, I had to put them in their place, which was so tremendous. And they're probably listening to the show today, because everybody wanted to hear exactly what Reverend Pinckney had to say. But I also mentioned your name while we was there. I told him a little bit about you. I mentioned my good friend Larry Pinckney, too. I told him. I talked about Lynn Stewart. I talked about it all. They gave me so much time, and I had a whole lot to do it. And the next day, it was they just wore me out. But I was just happy to be able to spread the word. But listen, let's talk about you. That's enough about me. Talk about yourself. Let's see what David Lowry is doing.
Well, folks, I'm the ex-president of the NAACP South Suburban Branch out here in Chicago. I met Reverend Pinckney about a year ago when I was pushed out of the NAACP unjustly, because I'm doing the type of work that needs to be done. The Living and Driving Wild Black Foundation is an organization that deals with everyday issues for the grassroots people. Living conditions and driving conditions for black people are the worst on the face of this planet, and those are the issues that we address. But for the most part, it's about knowledge. It's about what we are trying to do and teach our people to understand the simple processes of politics, economics, social living, education. We feel that if our people know how easy it is to start a business, think of it, put a plan together, and implement. It's easy, but if you don't know how to do it, then it's difficult. And that's what this foundation was built on, is we're trying to educate our people to understand how this society operates. And to be able to do that, then we need people to listen to Reverend Pinckney. We need people to listen to what David Lowry is saying, because we're on the forefront. I want to say this about this foundation. I used to be our Sharpton National Crisis Director. And I've been doing this for over 20 years now. What I saw with previous leaders today, that has not been conducive to the black community, created Living and Driving Wild Black. We started to take a look at laws. We started to take a look at racial profiling. And we started to write legislation around those things so that the everyday person that are affected by racial profiling, they have some type of defense. And so in light of the Trayvon Martin situation, Rev and I was talking on my show, That's Such Truth Be Told, every Thursday at 2 o'clock on intellectualradio.com, and I'll give that address later. But Rev was on my show, and we was talking about the lack of positive, real leadership. The leadership that's being conveyed today in the black community is all about themselves. And guys like Reverend Pinckney and myself and a lot of other young organizations who be on the front line and who work hard every day, who give 110%, never get any recognition, because every time something happens, they go to the same old Negro leaders who sitting in places that could do something that don't do nothing. So out of their willingness not to help the people, you got Banco and you got Living and Driving While Black. But what we're doing here in Chicago, and we had a case that went national Monday, we represent human and civil rights. No matter what color a person is, no matter what nationality or what gender they are, this organization defends human and civil rights. And we got a call about 2 months ago from Davenport, Iowa. And there was a friend of mine who's my point of contact for the foundation. There had been a lot of beatings going on in Davenport, Iowa. I spent over 40 years there as an entrepreneur. As a matter of fact, I retired from the city and moved back to Chicago. But there's always been a problem when it came to policing. Black people were getting killed. Drugs were being put on them. They were being beaten, and it was always swept under the rug. So when I was the president of down there in Rock Island of the NAACP, I brought to light a lot of things. But when you step out and you start telling the truth, not only will you be attacked by the enemy, but you will be attacked by your own people. And so it was a small town, and we did a lot there. But at the same time, our own people was my worst enemy, because they were conducive to being beat down and scared to drive around the town because of the police. But so happens that out of all this beatings, there was a young lady, and this is all over the world now, all over the country. She was shoplifting at a store in Davenport, Iowa, called Peterson Von Maur. There's no qualms about it that Miss Rydell was stealing, and she got caught stealing, and she was willing to be taken to jail and sent through the legal system. But because of the police officers that do dirty tactics, when they found out that Miss Rydell was there, they came to the security room of Von Maur. She was on the phone, and she had a baby with her that was maybe 16-month-old at the time. And she was, you know, calling her boyfriend to have him to come pick up their child, because they was going to take her to jail for shoplifting. When the officer got there, and he overheard her on the phone telling her boyfriend, and she called his name, he questioned her on who it was. After she told him who it was, he immediately attacked her. He started to beat her. The other officer held her down. They broke her eye socket. They fractured her nose, ruptured her esophagus. They beat this woman so bad, it was senseless. But God got a way of making things in the dark to the light. The officers never knew that there was a hidden video camera inside the security room and caught them on camera beating and pummeling this poor woman who had did nothing to provoke this attack. And so it's all over the country right now. The fact of the matter is that we are a organization with the name of Living and Driving While Black. That doesn't mean that we address only black issues. But we got our name because the issues in the black community were the first and foremost issues that we faced. Living conditions and driving conditions for black people on the face of this planet. And that's how we got our name. But when we saw the beating of Miss Rydell and how horrible and horrendous it was, even though she is white, we reached out to her because her human rights and her civil rights were violated. And since Monday, we sent a team of reporters from CBS to Iowa and from NBC. This organization is linked in with other organizations like BGA, the Better Government Association, that's with Andy Shaw. They're an investigative, reportive nonprofit like ourselves. We've also linked with Banco, and we started to talk about this issue and how we would approach it. And so we approached it with the media. The media has taken a hold to it. It's all over the world. And people, if you want to see it, you can go to our website, www.livingdrivingwhileblack.net. Take a look at this video, and we'll have a petition up in the next few days to demand that these officers are still fired. They're still on their job. They did not get reprimanded. They beat this woman, and the public prosecutor would not charge them with anything. So we've got the Justice Department involved with this issue, and we're hoping and praying that we can put enough pressure on the city government and the Justice Department to come and file criminal charges against these officers, because we know, and Rev, you know as well as I do, if you had to beat your wife, if you had to beat any woman, if any of our listeners had to put our hands on a woman and beat them in that kind of nature, we would be under the jail with felony assault charges, and it sure wouldn't be no situation to where we would be still on our jobs where we could hurt other people. So this foundation looked for the support of all black people, even though she's white, because it's not about the color of the skin, folks, and we have to be bigger than that. This is about Americans. Black Americans are the worst of all in the situations that we face every day. But whites and other people who are poor, it's got to be about money. And people who are poor, the have-nots, are being targeted, they're being beaten, and they're being killed. And that's what this organization stands for. We're a Christian-based organization. We believe in God and Jesus Christ. And when we would see something like that, I would hope that the Jesus with us, in us, if we say we're about him, the Jesus in us will stand up and stand out and fight for justice in this case. And so that's just one of the cases we are doing, Rev. And thank you for having me on the show, because you've been with me since the NAACP pushed us out, Reverend Pinckney, sort of. And I always give my whatever Rev needs for me to do, I do. I'm a real stickler for freedom. I believe in justice, and I believe that black people, if we start to put our differences aside, and I'm talking about the grassroots people, I'm not talking about them house Negroes, because the house Negroes are the one that we're going to have to organize ourselves to get rid of. I'm talking about real black people who are being faced with problems, and guys like Reverend Pinckney and myself and Larry Pinckney and David Lowry, we're out here on the front lines fighting for our people. We need y'all support. We need y'all to understand that this is not going to go away. We're not going to be able to go in the room and close our doors and enter our little world and stay there, because when you come out, the problem is bigger and worse than it was. So I'm telling folks, let's get behind organizations that are actually working. Folks, if you don't know, the NAACP has totally become irrelevant in the black community. And that's what this is about. We have organizations in our community who won't address these issues. And that's why I'm so proud that when I went through the thing with NAACP, when I got pushed out, when I was sitting here scratching my head, trying to figure out that what did I do? My job is to be able to help those who can't help themselves, to be a voice for the voiceless, and to stand up and fight a system that doesn't love poor people and minorities. That's what the NAACP was built on. But they've gotten to a place where they don't even want the president to take cases and be effective in the community. Rev, am I lying? Give your listeners a little bit about what we've been going through with them.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, some of the things that, see, the word that I've been spreading, I'm telling them that the NAACP is out of touch with the community. Also, they have sold out to the corporations. And also to the government. See, remember this. Right. Now, they both are working together. They, you know, when you speak of the Democratic Party, you speak of the Republican, they're the same people. But in your case, they wanted you to push the Democratic Party. But here's something that's even more important than that, is that the people don't know and they don't understand that the NAACP are really buffers. That's what they are. They're sent into the community to keep you from achieving anything. They don't fight for civil rights. They don't stand up for the people. If you went to them with an issue, David, what they would do, they won't even return your calls. And that's basically their history. When I was in Wisconsin, I was telling them about your case, the one with the young lady being beaten, and you know, by being so many white Caucasian individuals. And I said, well, you know, this is a black organization that reached out to her when nobody else would. I said, would you think the NAACP would even call this girl or even try to get in touch with her or even try to help her? The answer to that is no. So these guys, you know, I gave them a real education for two good days. And, you know, we got a chance to get driving while black, got that out there a little bit. But look, even more important than that, I like what you said. The young lady was white, and you still reached out to her. You're still working with her. You're still helping her. That's, you know, that's where we all are. It doesn't make a difference, as my good friend Larry Pinkney always say, it doesn't make a difference whether you're black, white, yellow, pink, orange, or whatever. That's his word. He say that, and I agree with that 100%, and we got to get to that level. And by the time when we get to that level, David, we can take this thing to an even a higher level. So that's where we at on that note. Well, listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to bring in my good friend, my brother, okay. Larry Pinkney next. So say whatever you want to say.
I want to say this to especially black people, but it goes to American people, all the races, that if you would take a look around and man's life is but a vapor, that one morning that you're here, in the afternoon you could be gone. And I want to say that all this God has given us, this green earth, the sun, and all the simple things that we look past, that if we don't see what's happening right now, the hatred, the killings, all the governments falling, the anger, the homosexuality, we have become the new Sodom and Gomorrah. But I just believe in my heart, in some kind of way, that if America will return to God and put Jesus Christ first, that we could be saved. And black people, we need to get out of this situation to where we trying to be like white folks and act like it ain't no God. I just got to call it the way it is.
Yeah.
And we must humble ourselves right now, because if we don't, our destiny is death and destruction, the tsunamis, the fires, the new plague of diseases. All these things are a sign of the time. And God has started showing us this thing, saying, if you only will return to me and stop sinning, I will heal you in the land. So what I'm saying to the listeners, I don't care who you pray to. I don't care who your God is, but you need to get right with somebody, God. And I'm trying to give you the message, it's time to get right with Jesus Christ. He who died for us, he raised from the dead, and he's sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. So if you don't know somebody, get to know somebody so that you can be saved. Black people, stay up. Let's continue to organize. We need to push those out who do not address the issues of our black community. That's what Banco is teaching. That's what this foundation is teaching, how to do things when you don't know how to do them. God bless y'all. Y'all can find me every Thursday at www.intellectualradio.com on Let the Truth Be Told. Our website is www.livingdrivingwhileblack.net, and our phone number is 773-998-1207. If you have a problem, you have a situation, please call us and let us help you deal with it. Living and Driving While Black. Thank you so much.
All right. You know what, David, and I tell you, I really, really appreciate the great work that you're doing. And, you know, I know how most people are, but the job that you have done so far is so tremendous. And you're going to be one of our speakers for the Danny Glover event. So you're going to get a chance to see some folks that's out here that's actually really doing something and also want to help. And you can see all the different connections that we are. Well, if I'm connected with them, you're connected with them. So that's how
and
I look at it. Yeah, all right. Well, thank you so much. But give me that bio.
I'll get that bio to you first thing in the morning, Rev.
All right.
God
looking forward
everybody.
To it, my brother. You have a good day. You're going to stay on and listen for a little while. We'll bring you back on.
All right. I'll
all right
for a
now.
God
all
bless
right
everybody.
Now. It's showtime here.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, let's bring in my good friend, my guy, the man of the hour, Larry Pinkney. We call it the Pinkney Show. How about it, Larry Pinkney? How you doing, my brother?
My brother, you know I'm always doing great, especially when I hear your voice. I hear you continuing to stay strong and determined in the struggle for everyday black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. My brother, what can I say? You remember that song from back in the day? Nothing you can do to take me away. Well,
that's
right. Nothing they can do to take us away from each other. My
God. That's it, my brother. That's it. Hey, I love it. You know, we're connected at the hip. That's what I say. And you know what? And it's going to get bigger and better. You know, that's the most important thing. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, that we have to say that, we got to stay focused and do the things that need to be done. But, you know, there's so much I want to talk to you about today. I just wish I had a lot of time just to talk with just you, Larry. But I want to talk about this article you put out. I'm looking at some of it. Said the mass incarceration and the destruction of Black America.
Mm-hmm.
And are you telling me that Obama had officially given his blessing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, this is the thing that everybody, irrespective of their color or their gender, need to understand, that Barack Obama is a chameleon, but he is
yep.
a chameleon for the power structure. He's a chameleon for this filthy, hypocritical, corrupt system. That's who he represents. So, yes, I am telling you that the article you're referring to was actually written by a sister by the name of Margaret Kimberly, who did a great job, and she describes how Obama is, in fact, pushing legally through the legal system, quote-unquote legal, to keep Black people incarcerated. Now, this is even after the Congress had, in 2010, passed and signed what was called the Fair Sentencing Act, which really should be described, as Margaret says, as the not quite so unfair sentencing act. But the long and short of it is that the ratio of people who are imprisoned, and this specific instance is about the use of quote-unquote crack cocaine as opposed to powder cocaine. The wealthy, of course, use what? Well, they use powdered cocaine. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Obama couldn't tell us a little bit about that himself, but we'll move on.
Absolutely, Larry.
Okay, but you know, but poor folk, you know, and I say poor, not P-O-O-R, poor, I say poor, because we're so poor, we can't even afford the O and the R. But, you know, poor folk, all right, especially Black and brown people, but also white folk and other people such as our indigenous brothers and sisters and our Asian brothers and sisters, poor folks, poor people tended to use, and these are young people, of course, mostly young folk, tended to use quote-unquote crack cocaine, which, by the way, just in case anybody doesn't know that, was brought into the United States by none other than, hello, the CIA. And
all
don't
right.
believe me, look it up in the San Jose Mercury newspaper. Just look it up. You can find the articles that talk about this. But I don't want to hone in on that. What I want to talk about is that Mr. Drone Man, Kill List, Hypocrite Barack Obama, very quietly, his administration is pushing to keep these folks, primarily Black folk, people of color, and poor white folk in prison, even after the courts ruled that, wait a minute, this is unfair, this is unjust. In fact, let me be specific, and I'm going to quote what the Sixth District Court of Appeals said. It said, quote, thousands of inmates, mostly Black, languish in prison under the old discredited ratio. Like slavery and Jim Crow laws, the intentional maintenance of discriminatory sentences is a denial of equal protection, end of quote. And that is from the Sixth District Court of Appeals. Now, having said that, what did Obama do? One would think, well, oh, here's an opportunity for him to show Black folk and all folk, everyday ordinary people, okay, that he's really for them. No, he's opposing this. He's opposing this. People need to wake up and understand who this demon is in the White House. And I use the word demon quite deliberately because he is demonic. And he's very, very insidious. He's clever. He's articulate. He's therapy sweet until you get under the covering and you find out that you're dealing with a tarantula, a poisonous tarantula. And that's for everybody. Every day, when I say everybody, I should put it this way, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. I want to also compliment David, who you had on just before me, Reverend Pinckney. I want to compliment him on stepping forward to help this sister, Rydell. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. But with respect to this woman who was beaten, severely beaten, and it was caught on camera, and the fact that she is white was not allowed by David and others to stand in the way of fighting for justice for her. You see, that's what black people should be about. That's what all people should be about. And that's what black America used to be about until the onslaught of this demon, Barack Obama. Okay, but we need to regain our humanity. We need to regain our conscience. You know, he's murdering people all over the world. That's why I call him Drone Man. Drone Man. Mr. Drone Man. Mr. Kill List. Okay? Got his own private personal kill list. And by the way, folks, that kill list applies to anybody, including anybody and everybody, including U.S. citizens. It's time to wake up and understand. And if the NSA spying and the DEA spying and surveillance, and by the way, why do you think they spy and surveil us? Because they're using it to set us up, to frame us, to extort us, to blackmail us, quote unquote. That's what the spying is all about. It's not just the gathering of information. They're not doing that just for fun. They're doing it to use against everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. Time to wake up. Time to wake up. You know, and to those folks who have a great esteem and respect for Christianity, and particularly for the Bible, I always like to quote the book of James, chapter 2, verse 26, because it's so simple, it's so direct, it's so beautiful and straight to the point. It says, quote, faith without works is dead. It's time for us to get busy, folks. Time for us to get busy. Like David said earlier, you know, irrespective of what your religious belief may be or not be, it's time for us to get busy. Irrespective of your color, of your gender, irrespective of those things, this is about everyday, ordinary, struggling black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And so I'll shut up for now, Reverend.
Well, Larry, I tell you that, you know, you just gave us a mouthful. And I tell you, after reading your article, and I read your article, I didn't get a chance to read Margaret's article, but I tell you, you definitely got my attention. And the mass incarceration has got to stop. And then we got our very own president of these United States actually instituting this stuff to keep, actually to keep mostly black people in prison.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. I'm ashamed of him. I'm ashamed to call him the president of these United States. The drones, you name it, and also what he's doing to Lynn Stewart. You know, I don't even know what to say about this man. I don't even see how people can respect him.
I don't either, and they respect them because they're kept ignorant and they're brainwashed, and we're the only ones who can deprogram ourselves, and I'm talking about each other. I always, in my articles, my very last sentence in all of my articles in blackcommentator.com and in intrepidreport.com, I always end it by saying, each one, reach one, each one, teach one, onward then, my sisters and brothers, onward, and I mean that. That's what we have to do. And as far as Mr. Drone Man, Mr. Kill List, Mr. Hypocrite, Barack Obama is concerned, it is time for us to regain our humanity, as I constantly say, and divorce ourselves from this war criminal murderer. because what he is doing throughout the rest of the world, quite frankly, is also what he is doing very stealthily to everyday people right here in these United States of America. We need to understand that. And we need to understand that this is not about color. This is about principles. We must
right.
have principles. You know, how
hey,
dare
let me ask you this.
Ahead.
Do you yeah. think that President Obama will ever be tried for war crimes?
Well, let me put it this way. I certainly hope so, but under the present hypocritical, unjust, lying, despicable system, did I use enough adjectives? I can say that at this point in time, no. But if we the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, wake up, then absolutely that possibility exists, but only we can make it real, as I say in my column in Black Commentator, Keeping It Real column. Only we can make it real. This man is a war criminal, okay? And if it's not good for the goose, it's not good for the gander. It's one thing to say that George W. Bush was a war criminal, is a war criminal, and he certainly was and is. But so is Barack Obama, who has carried the outrageous atrocities of Bush even further. And he's done it both internally and externally. So you know what? We need to have our own people's tribunal. This government, this corporate-owned government, and this corporate-owned, quote, news media, we don't get news. We get Oprah Winfrey, American Idol, Steve Harvey, and the rest of these maniacs out there to keep people distracted, to keep people numb, as Malcolm X used to say, as Malcolm put it, that, you know, like when you go to the dentist and they shoot you up with that Novocaine. And that's what the corporate stream media is all about. It's about distracting us. It's about shooting us up with poisonous, euphemistically speaking, poisonous Novocaine so that we don't think critically. And I believe in the people. It's a struggle, but I believe in everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. I believe, as we said back in the day in the Black Panther Party, and I'm talking about the original Black Panther Party, not to be confused with the so-called new Black Panthers, as we said back in the day in the party, we said all power to the people. That's what
wow,
we have, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. All power to the people.
Wow, you know, Larry, that's tremendous, you know. I tell you, it's always an honor to have you on the show. But listen, if someone wanted to send you some money or anything like that, can you give out your address or your P.O. box? And right now, I know there's a lot of people listening, and some people have contributed. Right now, we're asking people to donate to this call. Larry, please give out your address.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity, and we definitely can use and do need your support in financial terms. Just send your contributions, if you will, please, and I want to say thank you first and foremost to you, Reverend Pinckney, and to the huge listening audience out there. It's tremendous. Anyway, just send any contributions that you can to Larry Pinckney, care of Bob. BAWG. BOG stands for Black Activist Writers Guild. So Larry Pinckney, care of BOG, and the address is P.O. Box 581-822, and it's Minneapolis, Minnesota. The zip is 55458. Again, Larry Pinckney, care of BOG, that's the Black Activist Writers Guild. P.O. Box 581-822, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The zip code is 55458. Your help and your support are deeply needed and most strongly appreciated.
And you know what? One thing, Larry, for all the hard work that you be doing, I do have one thing I'd like to ask you. The next time that you be on Alex Jones' show, which you are seen like a regular, Cynthia McKinney was on the other day, and I also asked her, I gave her a call and asked her also to do the same thing. The next time you're on, would you just mention the TIs for me? Just
oh,
say
yes.
The individual. Would you do that just for me? I want to get the word out there in reference to them, and right now I'm mostly professors that I'm dealing with now. They're a little hard-headed, but I want to get it out there to them, and I want people to see that. And listen, so the next time you on Alex, we will be expecting you to say something about my TI, because I love my TI.
I will definitely be saying not only on the Alex Jones show, but upcoming shows that I do elsewhere, I will make sure. I'm glad you reminded me, because, you know, TIs, quote-unquote, targeted individuals. We are all targeted individuals, but in this particular case, the TIs have been treated in such an insidious, underhanded, despicable fashion that most people, unfortunately, are not aware of. So you bet I will be honored, delighted, and delighted, and will make sure that I talk about the TIs. Those sisters
very,
and brothers.
Very good. Larry, can you get that address, that P.O. Box, one more time for me?
Of course. It's Larry Pinkney, care of Bob, B-A-W-G. It's P.O. Box 581-822. That's 581-822. It's Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55458.
All right, Larry. Listen, my brother, love you very much, and I mean forever. This is, you know, this is a connection that's going to be forever. It's the pinky to pinky. That's all we can do.
It is, and I guess I'm in a song mood today, but I got to say this. There's a song that came out back in the day, sung by a group called Heat Wave, and the name of the song is Always and Forever.
All right, my brother. Listen, I got to bring in our good friend Ralph right now, but he got to talk a little bit about Lynn Stewart, things that's happening. But, Larry, I love you, and stay with me. I want you to come back and tell us, give us that P.O. Box one more time. All right, my brother.
All right, I will. Love to Ralph. Love to Sister Lynn.
All right, now. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I say thank you for having me here and there with the wonderful brothers and sisters that you bring on the program. And before I talk about Lynn, I'd like to go back to something you said in the beginning, Reverend Lowry said. Do we learn some from history? We've heard the words, and we don't listen. Yes, it was Socrates and Jesus and Douglas and Malcolm and Martin Luther King, and now we have Pinkney. Are we listening? We have the solution. You have said boycott, boycott, boycott. People are beginning to understand. And the litmus test as to who is on our side and who isn't are those who work against boycott. We know the success of an economic boycott. We know that it works. And I heard about the gay community. We can learn from the gay community. When they were insulted by Utah, in 2 weeks they had the governor begging. And now we as a people cannot have the governor of Florida begging us because we don't listen to people who tell us truth. And we have to recognize there is an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. It is a story of history repeated over and over again, and we just refuse to get it, even though people are telling us, get it. As King told us, and everybody says they love Martin Luther King, but they only love one part of King. The other part of King, or one of the other parts, is judge a man not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And we all ran to support. No, I lied. I did not run to support Obama, but many ran to support Obama because they said he'd be black. Well, hey, what about Mr. King here? He told us not to do it. What about Malcolm X, who told us don't be fooled by that? What about those who say the trees in the forest don't call the axe brother because he got a wooden handle? We forget all of that, and we run. We are driven by organizations like the NAACP to follow them and do whatever they want. We forget that the police department is an army of occupation within our community, and this is their job, to beat us down and to keep us subservient. And when we talk about killing of American citizens on American soil or overseas, it makes my blood boil. We have been killing American citizens here for many a moon. Did you ever hear of Angola, the I don't know what you would call it down in Louisiana? Did you ever hear of Angola? We don't have prisons. We do have death camps, and they give us death by the back door by denying our political people medical care. Not only black people, if you're political and you speak out or think out against this government, you are destined to be attacked and killed by this government. Make no mistake about it, when Lynn Stewart went to jail, she was scheduled for an operation the week she went to jail. And what did the injustice system say? Don't worry, we will have her operation in jail. Well, 18 months later, when she couldn't sit up, the only comfortable position was on her back. 18 months later, she got an operation, and the attending physician said it was the worst case he had ever seen due to the delay in America. Can you imagine? In one of the richest country in the world, they couldn't get a doctor. Yes, they could. We could have gotten a doctor in there. We could have gotten her the operation. They want her dead. And now the cancer that was in remission came back, and they discovered it, and they says, we'll look at it again in a month. Then it was spreading. And they says, we'll look at it again next month. And it was spreading. And we'll look at it again next month. 4 months later, they gave her treatment. Well, we know she's going to die. And what do? They say, well, she's going to die. We can't release her on compassionate release. We lied. Yes, we lied about, we said she was getting better, and she is not. And as she mentioned, cancer is growing in both of her lungs. They can't stop it. We have the treatment that they were giving her. She cannot have any more because of the side effects. It kills her white blood cells. Otherwise, the treatment is killing her. They can do nothing, and yet they wait. And yet the judge says it would be illegal for me to call for Lynn Stewart's release. Yes, it would be illegal because the law is set up to kill her. And if he disobeys the law that is set up to kill her, then it is illegal. And we get all wrapped up and what is legal and illegal, and we forget what is moral. But we must always be reminded, and there are a lot of situations I could go to people and talk about, but the one situation or one of the situations that we hear about constantly in America is the death of the Jews in Eastern Europe. And I want to tell you, every one of those deaths was legal. Moral, forget about it. We don't talk about that. We talk about what's legal and illegal. And this goes right along with what you have been saying. And I want to finish with, Lynn Stewart is strong. I felt kind of hurt this morning. I got a letter from a woman who has done great prison work. And she says, Ralph was an ex-boxer. Well, I did some amateur boxing. And she says, and now he has to pick himself up off the canvas again. Now, you know, we in that profession don't like to think of ourselves as ever being knocked down. But all do get knocked down. But the important thing is, after I looked at it for a minute, I says, yeah, I got knocked down again this past Thursday when they said, we cannot release Lynn Stewart, but you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again, and we must be willing to do that time after time. And like my father said, you're never beaten until you quit, and we're never going to quit. Well, they have been coming after you, me, and everyone else who has something decent and honorable and progressive to talk about. And I'll go down the list. Larry, Reverend Lowry, yourself, we're all in the position of getting knocked down, but it matters not. because we do pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and we start all over again, and we are going to beat them. But the litmus test, let me give you two litmus tests. I am organizing voices to sign on again after the 25,000 signatures we got for Lynn Stewart, including Bishop Duhu, yourself, Reverend Pinckney, Reverend Larry Pinckney. So many people have signed on. And we're going to have a litmus test. If somebody doesn't sign on to support Lynn Stewart, the person who supported us for 35 years, the Lynn Stewart of the Larry Davis case, which is most relevant in this time and age where police are killing everybody, the young black man in the Bronx who shot six of them, and Lynn Stewart fought for his release on self-defense, and she won that case. These cases are important. Does anybody doubt whose side she is on? And yet we have people like Obama, Holder, Samuels, killing her in jail, and we can't get black people to say, hey, could it be that Obama is the enemy? Could it be? Of course he's the enemy. It has been stated by others so many times, people have told us. But these are people we can do nothing about. I'd like to talk a moment about the people we can do something about. We have the people out there in front of us, like Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, Steve Harvey, Noam Chomsky, Michael Moore, and others who in good faith begged us to vote for Obama. And we know Obama betrayed us. There is no question there. But the question is, are all of these names, is Tavis going to betray us? Is Cornell going to betray us? Is Steve Harvey going to betray us? Is Michael Moore going to betray us? They all must join in with us to say Lynn Stewart, who is on our side, the people's side, as Larry said, white people, black people, people who have no money, who have no economic power. Lynn Stewart is on our side. Are we going to allow Mr. Obama to kill her and then still love Obama and like the trees who asked the question, just because the axe has a wooden handle, do we call him brother? Just because he appears a little like us, do we call him brother? And the answer must be no. It must be instant, because as Lynn wrote this letter, and I want everybody to understand about getting knocked down and getting up. She knew she was going to get knocked down because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks before the decision, she had said, I'm applying again because they're not going to be fair. They are lying and they are not going to be fair. Did she quit? And I know I felt bad, and it was said, well, Ralph, you better knock down again, dust yourself off, and, you know, get up and fight some more. Lynn knew she was going to get knocked down, reapplied, continued to struggle, and we must do the same. We must continue to struggle. And Larry, we're going to have to get some money out there, because those who are supporting us must be supported. And
absolutely,
I say,
absolutely. And, you know, Ralph, you said something very, very important. You see, it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up.
Right.
That's even more important, because I tell you, I know it's going to be a fight, and we know what we're up against. When we're up against this Obama administration, and they're not going to do anything to really help the people. So what we have to do, we have to force them. And matter of fact, he might be, I'm thinking about putting him on trial for crimes against humanity. I believe that might be our answer.
Hey, yes. We have so many things we have to investigate and look at, and we have to rally around those people who support us. And I am talking about your boycott. And anyone, and as you know, Reverend Al, Brother Al, is in Washington being funded by the Democratic Party and Obama, and they don't want to talk about boycott. Well, we're going to be there, and we're going to be loud, and we're going to talk about boycott. We're going to be angry with those who cannot see the light. We are going to boycott everything in Florida, and I must tell you that I got a call from California the other week, and he says, Ralph, ask Reverend Pinckney to be careful, because there is Disneyland in California. And I'm saying, well, You know, like maybe Reverend Pinckney will take time to sort that up. But let it be known that people around the world, around the country are watching, and they are fearful. They know the power of the black dollar, even though it's been diminished. And we must stop buying trinkets and beads. And I say we call them BMWs and sneakers nowadays. We must stop that. Don't buy anything if it's
not. That's right. Keep our money in our pockets.
Keep our pennies in our pocket. And this is, you know, it has been so long since I had orange juice, I forgot what it tastes like. It
all
doesn't
right,
mean
all anything. Right, that's a victory right there.
Yeah, so we must all forget about that. When you're away from it, you never miss it, and you have a few more pennies in your pocket where you can send it someplace to do some good for yourself. And everybody must be reminded, we must hear these words over and over again because we've heard them and we do not pay attention to them. Somebody has to explain that this isn't new, what's happening to black people. This society, this system wants us disappeared. And understand something, they disappeared a whole lot of people here before. When's the last time you saw an Indian? I think I was 29 years old before I saw an Indian, and they were all over this country.
Yeah.
And let us not think that we can't be disappeared. There's AIDS. There's all kind of stuff out there. There's a program that is in constant development, a program, how do you kill Orientals and blacks by chemicals and disease that will not kill Caucasians. It's going on. And we just go along, and as Queen Mother said, we are the best at singing and dancing, and we have the least to sing and dance about. Let us remember that. I don't know if those people who watch those programs, who sings the best and who dances the best, I don't know if they can be reached. Maybe they're already gone. But Reverend Pinckney, keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. And I'm right here with you, beside you, in front of you, behind you, because this is the one that's going to get them. And watch yourself, because they know it. Wear three bulletproof vests.
That's right, that's right, you know, and I got to turn it around to make sure. So that's how we deal with that. Rap, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for the fight that you're putting up. I mean, you are doing a tremendous job. I got to get out there and be with you, but I'm trying to make time to do it, but it's been so difficult. But I got to do it because I don't feel comfortable not being with you at least 1 or 2 days.
Fantastic. Well, look for the next court appearance. I'll give it to you as soon as possible. But people should know that the Obama administration is now trying to keep Lynn's case from coming before the Supreme Court. They're trying to block it. Can you imagine? What do they want? They want her dead. So we must turn about fair play.
You know what? And it's obvious they're doing something wrong. They don't want it to go before the Supreme Court. Listen, let's continue to fight, and I'm with you 100%, and please stay with me, and I'm going to let you have the very last word, so that way you can talk a little bit about Lynn and whatever you want to say, and we'll take it from there.
Last week I had to leave the hotel. I was out there in Fort Worth, Texas, on the program, but I had to go outside, and he came back, and I said, okay, I'll catch you next week. But I only missed like the last 3 minutes of the program, 4 minutes. But I won't miss it today. Thanks again,
Robert. All right, because I'm going to bring you back. All right, my brother.
Thank you.
All right, now it's the time now. It's my TI time. This is the time that I look forward to every single Sunday, bringing in my people, my friends, my target individuals. I tell you, I had an opportunity to talk about the target individuals for 2 hours. On Friday, and I tell you, I got a chance to pass out some DVDs. Matter of fact, I didn't even have enough DVDs to pass out. The place was so crowded. Everybody wanted to know whatever Reverend Edward Pinckney had to say, and I'd always talk about my TIs. I always give them a minute, but right now I got to bring in my good friend, the judge. Judge Eve has been out here. She's excellent person, lots of knowledge, and she's just a wonderful person. But I'm going to bring in Judge Eve first, and I got to bring in my good friend Ken after that, and then we'll deal with our TI people. On that note, Judge Eve, are you there?
I'm here, and thank you so much for having me on. And people, you should honor Reverend Pinckney for being a pioneer, for having the courage to do what he's doing, and rise up and help him and help our country. And I have to say, Reverend Pinckney, I'm a very conservative Republican. I'm a Reaganite. And when I hear your people talk, both Larry Pinckney, was it, and the gentleman just after him, I feel like I'm in the old Republican Party again.
Well, we just call a spade. That's all we do, Judge.
Amen. And
you have to call it like you see it. See, too many times we don't call it like we see it. That's why we don't get anywhere.
Exactly. People try to make things up and pretend. And the thing is, you know what it is? It's being American. All of them are American. You're an American. You know, think about it. Obama, my God help us. You know, he's an illegal president. This guy doesn't care about the Constitution. He doesn't care about the law. And he's a dictator. And let me say something else. You know, he really is not interested in anybody. He's really a puppet for Rothschild and all the money people. What I've come to learn, and I've come to file litigation, you have no idea what's really going on in America. And it makes me sick when I hear, is it Ralph? Was that the last gentleman who spoke?
Yes.
When he said that there are viruses and drugs trying to kill people, black people and Asians, that's horrible. We've got to stop it. But what would you like me to talk about today?
Well, before you do that, I want to ask you something in reference to, do you know the story of Lynn Stewart? She's the attorney who defended the blind sheikh, and they sent her to prison for 10 years. And that's,
and now she's dying of cancer.
And what we're trying to do now, we're trying to figure out a way of getting her out. And as you being a judge, it's just a tremendous thought. But I want you to talk about your family and some of the things that happened. And let's talk about that first today, and then we'll get you back on, and you can talk about whatever you want.
Okay, may I just say, let's pray for Lynn Stewart, because prayer is above everything, if I may. May I go ahead and do that?
Yes, please.
Okay, Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. Lord, you are the God of the universe, the top judge, and we thank you for intervening in this case. We send your archangel Michael and all your hosts to free Lynn Stewart. Let there be a miracle deliverance as you did to Paul in the prison, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you and praise you for it. Let me just say, amen. I'm a Jew, born in Jerusalem. I was there during the War of Independence. You know, at that time, the Arabs and the Jews, the Muslims and the Christians and the Arabs all got along well, till later on.
Yes.
And because I accepted Jesus in my life and talked about it on Trinity Broadcasting Network, corrupt high-level Jewish people in Beverly Hills helped my brother and sister kill my parents in Beverly Hills and steal their money. My parents were Morris and Sarah Sternlight. They lived six blocks west of the Menendez brothers, who had shot their parents. And my parents were killed like Michael Jackson and Anna Nicole Smith, with doctors and medication. And by the way, this is going on a huge scale. There's a huge, huge move to kill as many elderly, wealthy people, really to get our country back into communist situation. And this was all done because I had dared talk about my belief in Jesus, being a judge. My former name was Cohen, which was Jewish, and it was a way to attack me. My life had been threatened, not to tell the story. I discovered this, by the way, in December 1998. My father was killed in 93, and apparently he'd been drugged. He became very aggressive, had to be placed in a special facility. And what I found out later, my sister would always say to medicate him before my mother and I would go to visit him. I need to tell you that my parents were from Poland, and they were lucky to leave the Holocaust there by going to then Palestine. Had they not done so, I wouldn't be here. And I called the story initially 90210 Holocaust, because that was the zip code, and that's what happened to them by two of their children. I have come to uncover lawyers forging my parents' trusts over and over again. It's a felony to do it. Nothing was done to them legally. I had written to the current governor of California, Jerry Brown, was attorney general, about the murders and what was done, and they thought murders are okay. So you're talking about disobeying the law. You know, what law? Do we even have any laws anymore? I had been injected with chemicals. All of my monies have been stolen. I lived in Las Vegas, and a doubly secured facility was repeatedly burglarized, and people threw human feces on my balcony and on my car. And, you know, I not only was a judge, I practiced law, I taught law. You'd think I know a little bit about law. And I got no help from the police department in Las Vegas, from the attorney general in Las Vegas, from the California attorney general. The federal authorities did nothing. And I had never, never seen such corruption by judges. Let's even forget the lawyers, you know, but the judges. And the judges were either threatened or they wanted to be reelected. I have never seen such disregard of what's right, and I'm talking about legally now, as I've seen in my parents' case, and I've come to learn that this is happening to a lot of other people. My telephone, thank God, I now live in the state of Washington, hasn't happened here, but in Nevada. My telephone was constantly monitored. You see what's happening now? The NSA doing it to other people. My computer was bugged. My fax was bugged. My email was bugged. My mail was bugged. By the way, I am a prophet. I've been anointed as a prophet, and I live ahead of time what happens to other people in our country. So what I say is because what I experienced already. And what I see happening in our country is what I knew would happen because I went through it. I need to tell you, I had been very active in politics. In fact, I ran for Congress in Las Vegas. And I drove all the way from Las Vegas to Washington, D.C. in 2009. I tried to see legislators who, by the way, they do nothing now. They don't even listen to the people anymore. But I went to the Executive White House office building to see Valerie Jarrett, who allegedly is in charge of women affairs, to tell her what had happened to me. The security guard at the desk made a phone call, and he said, she's gone for the weekend. And by the way, I'm a disabled person. I had my cane chair with me. And then in front of 30 people, and this is now Obama's White House representative, screamed at me, get out, don't talk, don't ask any questions. And I had to leave. Does that sound like fascism to you, Reverend Pinkney?
Hey, fascism is here. It's here. We're surrounded by it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Fascism is here, and we're surrounded by it. And Mr. Obama's leading the attack.
Exactly. And that's what makes me sick, because nobody cares. Nobody does anything to remove him. I like your idea and Larry Pinkney's idea. Let's try him for criminal acts against humanity. The man could care less, not only not about the black people. He doesn't care about any people. Mm. He has no loyalty. Everything, you know, I really supported him at first. You know, I liked him. I liked the way he talked. I thought actually that he sounded like Reagan and that he would go down the middle. And then learn that everything about him is a lie. Look at the way he's spending our money.
Yeah, you know, he's a smooth operator. Yeah, that's what he is. He's a smooth operator.
Exactly.
So, you know, see, Larry had a few songs for us today, and I think that's a good one right there.
Yep. The S-O, right? Smooth operator.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And the thing is, you see, he could care less. You know the Benghazi situation. You know how so many of our, you know, the ambassador was killed and a few of the guys.
You know, but you know, it's something bigger than just that. You know, they were running guns over there.
I know. I've learned that. You see,
that's the cover up, not the killing, but the cover up so that they was actually running guns.
I know. I've come to learn that. And see, the media, this controlled media, doesn't tell us anything. And it's people like you, God bless you, for doing what you're doing. And I wish I had the money. I would support you. You know what? Pray for me to get money. I would support you. I would support Larry.
Oh, I know you will. I know you will. Well, let me tell you something about the media. Yesterday, last night, I had just got through speaking, and I went to hear this guy speak about the media, corporate media.
Yes.
He made the statement, and I had to, you know, I had to stand up. He said the only thing, he said what we need to do when the media don't do what we don't do what we tell them to do, we should go to them and tell them that we're displeased. And I said, what if we go to them and tell them that we're displeased, what do you think they're going to do? I said, they're going to do exactly nothing.
Yes,
I said, that's the case.
Right.
We should be doing that every day. Everybody.
Yes.
And this, he was a corporate man. He was from the media. And I was shocked that he would be at something like this. And but you know, they have their people there too.
Everywhere you
talk about democracy, you talk about a conference or whatever it might be, it's flooded with them. But they got a chance to hear something on Friday night that they probably would never forget. And matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the FBI got my house surrounded now.
Nope. No, they won't, because you know what? I have been made invisible in the past. Remember Jesus said we would do what he did and greater things? Tell everybody, if they feel they're being persecuted, to ask to be made invisible, okay? Mm. I was driving, the way I learned to do that was in the early 90s or late 80s. I was driving to the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles to meet the then representative of Governor Reagan. It was a Billy Graham crusade, and it was at the Hollywood Bowl, which seats like 20,000 people. On the way, I was listening to a tape about Christians in Russia who were being persecuted by the partisans, and they asked God to make them invisible, and the partisans on horseback, which would be like in the early 1900s, rode right by them, didn't see them. So I needed to pick him up to take him to the airport, and I knew that if I explained my situation, I would be allowed to sit in the front. When I got there, I found out they were checking for either gold or silver tickets for people who were busting by, for the Billy Graham crusade, and they could sit in the front. So I thought, well, let me see if this invisibility thing works. And I asked the Lord to make me invisible. There were two men standing 5 feet apart, facing each other, checking for tickets. I looked to the left. The guy didn't see me. I looked to the right. The guy didn't see me, and I walked right in.
Hey,
so remember.
That's remarkable. You know, we can do anything we want to do. We just have to want to do it. And you know, one of the things, Judge, that I always like about you, you know, when you tell your story about your family and stuff like that, that's a story that people need to know about. And I think that's, you know, that puts us in the right frame of mind. And I'm always right. Well, listen, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on, Judge. But it's always a pleasure to have you on. But say whatever you want, whatever your heart desires, just spit it out.
Thank you so much. Just want to let you know about my JudgeEve.com website. I've been writing blogs, been getting wonderful comments. We'd love to hear from you people, and most importantly, people, support Reverend Pinckney. You know what you are, Reverend Pinckney? A pioneer. You're doing what the original Americans did to get America, and you're trying to get America back. You do everything you can to support him, and I do too, with my whole heart. And thank you so much for having me on the show, Reverend Pinckney.
Thank you, and I'm going to be on your show, and I'm going to be just happy to be there. And
I can't wait.
You and I should talk soon. Let's talk.
Thank you. And that's September 27th.
That's right. Absolutely. That's September 27th. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It's a Saturday. It's 2 p.m. Eastern time, and I don't know. It's on bbsradio.com, but I will issue an announcement. I always
do. Okay, I know you will, and I'm looking forward to it. But listen, I got to run along, but thank you so much for being on the show, and I love you, Judge, and I want you to keep up the great work that you're doing. And listen, let's take this to a whole different level.
Thank you, and love you too, Reverend Pinckney. God bless
you
and your show. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Actually, now it's time for my good friend Ken Rose, the guy who's on the go, the guy who's always doing something, the guy that you can always count on, the guy who would travel all over this country just to try to help somebody is a tremendous thing. And I just want all my TIs to know, anytime that you send me a donation, the money is used for whatever work that we're doing. If it's TI work, I do spend it for that. If it's the court watching, I spend it for that. If it's traveling, I spend it for that. I do not waste people money. And what's even more important, I do what's right. If it's not right, I won't do it. So you can take my word on that. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, my guy, my man, Ken Rose. Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you. Hey, Reverend Pinckney, first of all, I want to read something, an article by Red Beckman.
Go right ahead, Ken.
If the church does not speak out against evil government, it will become evil itself. Freedom is won or lost in the minds of women and men, so we must protect our minds from tampering and control. And that's, I thought that was a very good quote that he said.
And I thought it was an excellent one. Go right ahead.
So now I want to get down. They talked about the lady got beat for shoplifting. Did you know some of them even come and left comments that she shouldn't have been stealing? Well, that's very true. She shouldn't have been, but we don't. You don't beat somebody. We got court system, bro. We're supposed to have court system. But I'm gonna tell you about a story that's got next to my heart. A Mexican boy was tasered to death by the cops. Then after that, they high-fived and talked about how his bottom end puckered up when they tasered him, and all of his friends were standing around, and the little Mexican kid, he was 22 years old, was dead. Now, I wonder what these cops think is going to happen to them when they meet their maker. You know, sit around high-five after you kill somebody. Our police are getting brutal and brutal. And the next thing I want to talk about is Cynthia McKinney on Alex Jones. She talked about, she tried to bring it up, and Alex kind of kept changing the subject. She said, Alex, they're taking people's properties away from people. She said, Bill Windsor went all over the United States making a documentary, and it's called LawlessAmerica.com. She gave that out three times. She was talking about TIs. Bill went around the whole United States, and he's still going around, and he's interviewing the TIs and he's going to make a documentary on it. Well, I listened to him last night, and he said now his wife of 42 years has left him. He can't see his two granddaughters, so now they came after him. Anytime anybody speaks up about anything that the government's doing illegal, they come after them. And then now I'm going to talk about just last week, Alex had it posted up on his website where 24 tons of cocaine was flew out of, I think it was Brazil or some other country, and they was bringing it to the United States to destroy it. So they said, okay, we want a guy to meet us there at your furnace. So they told him, well, right now, when they got in flight, they said, well, the furnace is broken down, so they had to divert it for an hour because they wanted to witness it and make sure it got destroyed. As it turned out, their witness couldn't even witness it, but they told him it got destroyed. Well, who do you think got that 24 tons of cocaine? It was brought in on a U.S. Air Force plane. So that means our CIA got a big bonus that day, didn't they?
Oh, yes, they did. And that's what's been going on, Ken, for a long, long time. Matter of fact, the United States government is the biggest drug dealer there is in the world.
Right, exactly. And then the other day they took, CPS took a two-year-old girl from the parents because one of the Nazi neighbors called the police and told him he was smoking marijuana and out on his porch after his daughter went to bed. So they come in, they took the child away from him. He went for a visit, and he kept telling the CPS, somebody's mistreating my daughter. Look at her eyes. Look at this. Look at that. And they wouldn't do anything about it. Guess what? A month later, they brought her to the hospital, beat to death. I mean, she was beat so bad that she died.
Wow.
And then we talked about how, and people talk about how great the CPS is. That's enough. I think the government runs CPS, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So there's your government at its finest. And then I'll remind everybody, I'm tired of hearing everybody say, well, I ain't doing anything wrong. Well, I ain't worried about what they're doing. Well, I wonder how many of the Jewish people in Nazi Germany thought they were doing anything wrong when they were getting put to death in the death camp. Americans better wake up. Because the other day they came out and Alex pulled this off their government website that they're telling the vendors be ready within, I think it was like 2 weeks if we tell you to have food at the FEMA prison camps that you got to have it there. Wonder what they know that we don't know.
Wow.
You know, our government is spinning out of control. They you know, they just, today they want your freedom, tomorrow they want your life, and that's what it's coming to. And actually, a lot of people think they're not TIs. Well, most everybody in the United States is a target individual. If you look at NSA, how they're spying on all your emails, all your phone calls, and then they can use that to put you in jail or kill you, you tell me they're not TIs. But yet we got 45% of the people think Obama's doing a good job. That means we got 150 million people that are dumber than hell in America.
The TIs. Who would believe that Obama's doing a good job?
They got to be brain dead.
Yeah, no question about that, Ken.
So anyway,
no question about that, Ken. Ken, I got a chance to pass out quite a bit of the DVDs. Matter of fact, I needed more. Unfortunately, probably at the next conference I go to, I'm gonna take more because I didn't anticipate be that many people there. But I had a good time. Got a chance to talk about TIs. Make sure that everybody understands that this stuff is serious. But listen, I got to move on. I got to bring on Gloria. Then I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, well, I'm on my way to Pennsylvania to see that police chief.
I knew you would. I just knew you was on your way somewhere. I knew it. Well, Ken, you keep up the work. I'm proud of you, man.
When I get back, I will send you some DVDs.
All right, that'll work. We'll talk about that, okay?
Okay, thank you, Reverend Pingy, and everybody
right.
Have a great day.
You do the same. All right, that's my good friend Ken, a true soldier. I call him John Brown because this man is always right in the middle of everything. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, the satellite energy has a way of coming into your home and destroying things. And my computer was shut down Saturday morning, and the lock was on it. I couldn't open it.
Wow.
I tried using screwdrivers as if they glued it with super glue. But the fortunate thing about it, I took it to the store today to have it serviced. I left it there. I had an opportunity to talk to the young lady at the counter. I gave her your number. I told her what was going on. She said, "What?" And I said, "Read my T-shirt." It was talking about mind control. Then another gentleman came in, and he brought his computer. He's standing there. And he said, "Well, it doesn't work in my office, my computer, since I put the hard drive in." So I found out that he was some type of electrician, and he knew about targeted individuals.
Wow.
So he said, you know, we started talking, and he gave me his card. He said, "There's so much information. There's so much going on." He said, "I had to unplug myself for a while because you can become overwhelmed." He's not targeted the way we are, some of us are, but, you know, he understands it. So I had an opportunity to do some networking while I was out there. But the word now is free the land. Everyone has to remember that we have to free the land. And what
All right.
I'm going to talk about today is we need to get our TIs. I'm asking TIs that are nurses, doctors, anyone in the medical profession, or if they enjoy medicine or talking about it. We need a group to really pull together some things because these doctors are really, they don't care. They're paid not to care. The government pays, the medical school, millions of dollars. They'll give them a few million dollars and tell them, "Well, now, teach your doctors, be sure to give out this drug, that drug, that drug, and that one. Push them." And, you know, that's what they're doing. That's how they're being trained now. And I came across a story about Gardasil. Remember when a commercial used to come on about they would say, "One less." Young girls would say, "I'm one less." And I was like, "One less." So this is HPV vaccine. That's so they wouldn't get cervical cancer. And they start them from 11 years old to age 26. So I saw the story of a young girl, 15 years old. She kept seeing this. She was like watching MTV, and every so often this commercial would come. And she said, started on her mother, "Oh, Mom, please, let me get that HPV. I don't want to get cancer." So the mother finally, "Okay, you can get it." After the first shot, it's a series of three shots, and then you're supposed to be cool. After the first shot, she felt very stiff, like she had the flu. After the second shot, the same thing. Everything started coming down on her, and they said, "Well, probably after you have the third shot, things will equal out, and you know you'll be even again." Well, she had the third shot. She had a stroke. The left side of her body, she had a stroke from her face down. She started getting very ill. She couldn't. Her veins started to cause problems. The blood wasn't flowing, so that meant the oxygen wasn't getting to certain parts of her body properly. She would pass out. She tried to go to school. She was an honor student, A student, cheerleader. She could no longer cheer. She went from A student to F. She said she couldn't think. She couldn't comprehend anything. It was so hard. Her life turned around. She was so sick. She was trying to get ready for her prom. She would get well at some point, you know, come up a little and then go back down again. And she got a dress and got her hair done. But the night of the prom, she got very ill. She said, "Mom, I feel nauseous." So they rushed her to the hospital. She was on the verge of having a heart attack. As the story progressed, she ended up taking 40 different drugs a day. 40 different pills every day. Well, the family was in financial ruins because even after the insurance company kicked in, they were still putting out like $2,000 a month. They had to give up their home. The father ended up leaving his wife. They divorced. They said it was just too much, and because they were in financial ruin. So the girl decided that, you know, "Mom, just stop with the pills because I'm going to die anyway. And I don't want you to keep spending all your money for this, you know, for this medicine. I'm going to die." And that's, by this time, she's like 16 years old. So I started really, you know, it just caught my attention. I started really looking into it. There was a doctor that spoke about autism. And my oldest grandson, he has autism. Well, he's really a savant because he's brilliant. So he's a savant. And this doctor said, when he's a pediatrician, he said maybe he saw one or two children with autism. By the 1990s, he saw 2,100 children with autism. And some of the doctors, "Well, you know, they put them all on this spectrum, and this happens and that happens." But it's not like that. They had 18,000 cases reported about that Gardasil. And the doctor said it was just a coincidence, you know, that so many of the young ladies ended up with kidney stones and different things like that. They were making $21.5 billion a year. And the government, of course, covers, you know, for these vaccine companies, or these pharmaceutical companies. The corporations rule. That's all there is to it. Then there was another.
Well, you know what? When we say corporation rule, that's why it's so important that the people get together. And we're growing, but we need to get people to understand, and you got to keep spreading the word. Because, that story in reference to, matter of fact, both of your stories is an amazing story. But look, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you need to say. I got to bring on Dorothy, and I got to bring on Dr. Short pretty soon, too. So say whatever you need to say.
Well, I just want to say that our children are being sacrificed. And what is happening now, you know, when a child is younger with autism, they're cute. But as they get older, depending on where they are on the spectrum, sometimes a policeman might say, hey, stop, which they tasered a young child in Oregon, a 16-year-old, and he didn't listen. He wasn't comprehending what the police officer said, so they tasered him to the ground. We have to, you know, politics are so involved with this that we must get involved. And there's
Absolutely.
A woman that's been out there for 20 years, and the thing is, show us the science and give us a choice. But the United States is the only country in the world that forces people to have vaccines. And they have doubled. When they doubled the vaccinations, it's unbelievable. And I got this information from the greatergoodmovie.org. You can look it up on the Internet. That's one of the DVDs that Ken had given me.
Okay.
And, yes, they are taking the prisoners. And I believe they're selling their kidneys. My auntie told me, I have a cousin in prison, and she said, oh, one of his kidneys failed, and they want to remove it before he leaves prison. And I was just stunned. I was shocked. But I've heard this story over and over again. I heard a story that a gentleman went out to have his kidneys checked, came back to his prison, and bled out.
Wow.
His kidneys were gone. Yes. So we have to not only... When you say the word boycott, we should just start living off the land. You don't have to have these mammograms because they're just putting, you know, they're injecting you. They're giving you radiation. They're giving you cancer. A lot of breast cancer, these lumps and things, one doctor wrote in Natural News, let it be. Most of these doctors are just butchers.
Mm.
And they're planning, when they're talking about cutting your breast off, they're looking at a yacht. You know, that's who I'll buy with this breast. I'll get that house with this breast. So we really have to start paying attention, start networking, and really come down. I would like to get a solid group to come together, pull this information together, and really sock it to them, put it out there, because there's no way they can diagnose you with some type of brain injury or something unless they take brain tissue.
Right.
You can't say someone has ADHD. They come up with all kinds of things. So this Gardasil medication was put on a fast track. That's what they call it, fast tracking. The FDA gave it the approval because the pharmaceutical company said, oh, this is great. This is, you know, it's a good medicine. They're loving it. So my last words to this is like asking the fox to guard the chicken coop, because they sit with the doctors and decide how they're going to distribute these drugs. So thank you
for
listening.
Hey, listen,
Breathe
thank
the
you
land.
So much for that. But listen, I really appreciate you, good information, and you also told them where they can find it out if they needed more information. So listen, I got to move on. I got to bring in my good friend Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there?
Yeah, how are you?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, I just kind of want to go through kind of an eclectic kind of commentary tonight. And one of the things is, you know, the sad thing is that our lives are so overwhelming. American people's lives, people in the world are so overwhelming with having to find work if you're out of work, having to take care of kids, a house, trying to get, you know, recover from so many different scams and scandals that many people have failed to begin to stop. Just stop and begin looking around. But not just looking around, becoming their own personal investigators. You know, President Eisenhower, before he left office, said, be careful of the military-industrial complex, because it's taking over. Now, Eisenhower was before Nixon. He was before Kennedy. He was before Reagan. If that man, who was a four-star general in the United States military, who had led European troops, he saw a lot of things. He came into the presidency. He was telling us to wake up at that point. And yet, people want to, again, there were good things about almost every president that came up, but what else was he saying that we needed to investigate? There's a reason why the TV was called the idiot box. And in the 60s, during the Kennedy administration, news media was on the verge of being taken over. They were actually showing the number of coffins with flags coming back from the Vietnam War, which is why so many people were beginning to take notice and protest for peace and to stop doing this, you know, the bloody killing of so many even innocents, when you can remember a baby that's partially burnt or children on fire because of an airplane crash and other things. We began as an American population watching, paying attention. Many priests and ministers, nuns and others, were leaving their churches because they believed in the words of a loving Jesus Christ in action. And so they were asked to leave their different denominations because they would not participate in the brutality of what was happening. Now remember, too, that President Nixon stated that as president, he could do things even if they were illegal according to the law, and it wasn't illegal because he was president. Now, for people such as Lynn Jones or Lynn Stewart, excuse me, I find it interesting because, again, I really like going backwards in history and looking at former President John Quincy Adams. In 1840, he would represent a African who was kidnapped by the name of Cinque, that was brought over here by a Portuguese slave ship that was supported by a monarchy that was supported by the Vatican. And from there, what would happen is, now, at that time, the international slave trade was illegal. It was illegal. But the American domestic slave trade was legal. So Cinque was brought to Cuba. He was then brought to America, him and others who survived that very heroic or extraordinarily traumatic journey, because quite a few people would die on that passage, called the Middle Passage. And what would happen is in 1840, his case, after many years, what happened is on the ship, he started a revolt against the Portuguese. Him and the other members who were captured stood up and killed many of the Portuguese on board. They were then found floating in the waters of Connecticut and taken to Connecticut, where he was then virtually put in prison for what was going on. Well, he ended up going into our court systems, and there were some abolitionists who came to his and his other compadres' rescue to say, you know, these are free people, what's going on? Well, the short and the long of this is that John Quincy Adams, the former president, would represent him in the Supreme Court, in which they said that Justice Story said that these were born free people. Therefore, you couldn't hold them accountable, you couldn't hold them as slaves. And he was eventually released after many, many years and returned to Africa. However, if you move forward, according to the Emancipation Proclamation, most Americans, and this is information I got from the U.S. Congressional Library, it stated that the Emancipation Proclamation only set free the Southern blacks of the South, not the Northern, or not even, and if you look at the Constitution, it says that all men are created equal. It's never ever said all women, all minorities, all children. In fact, we've never had an Equal Rights Amendment. And the question one has to ask if you move forward, because remember, criminals will always think criminally. They will find ways to work below the letters of the law, whatever the law is. They'll find loopholes. That's how all these scams have happened. Have you ever gone fishing with an unbaited hook, no worm on it? Americans, part of what all TIs need to do, and everybody who doesn't support criminal activity below the letter of the law, in which they're ripping people's houses off, they're ripping their stock markets off, they're taking, you know, their houses away from them, it's time to stop fishing believing in what they tell you. It's time to begin researching because that's what they're doing. And the sad thing is that we have yet to ever be seen as equally as equals to those who are in our leadership. There's two terms. One is freeborn people. The other is born free. The freeborn believe that they are the masters. The born free are those that they see as slaves, like Born Free, the movie, that talks about animals. These folks, these criminals, see the mass majority of the people in this country as animals, and they are treating them like it, and we don't even understand it because we're not willing to look at the fact. And literalists who support the Constitution see that men, and those were white men with property typically. Now, there were some African American free blacks at the time who did, in fact, have property and were treated as such, but we'll also see that today in the comparison. Again, one of the things I want you to do is, have you ever gone to a store and you see a really big basket that has a lot of really neat stuff in it, and it's gathered up with a bow, a fancy bow, and it has this, you know, kind of quasi-colored paper that you can look through. It can be pink or green or whatever. You don't necessarily know what's in the basket, but it really looks good for a lot of people. The point being is there are a lot of different people in this community. And it can be everything from child stealing and rape and brutalization into mind control and sexual slavery. We have 150,000 to 300,000 children going missing in this country. It's not a national issue. We have military being raped and put into sexual slavery. The rape is being talked about. The sexual slavery inside the military is not. We have people that are losing it emotionally, and they're being pushed that way. And it's a very slow kind of cooking kind of system, that it'll find your weakness, and try to push you over the edge. So being mindful of all these things, regardless of who we believed our past leaderships were, it's time for us to pay attention. I'm going to mention two YouTube videos that I would suggest anyone. And again, don't believe everything you hear, everything you read. Begin using your articulation and your critical thinking and cross-reference things. Black Ops, this is the first CD, or excuse me, first YouTube video, which are free, you can watch. Black Ops, Operative Chip Tatum. Go out and watch this guy. He was a special ops guy. And the important thing that's here is that he talks about a drug that was able to be given to people back in 70s and 80s, that it would slip it into your coke. It was called the voodoo drug. It would make you do anything that they wanted to suggest, to include even kill another human being, and you would not have any memory of it. You would have total amnesia about it. He also talked in this video about the ability of our government to have anybody have a heart attack, and they use two compounds. The first they could actually put in like a punch bowl where everybody in a group could be affected, and then the second compound they could actually deliver to significant individuals in a totally different method of delivery. The point being is that when these two compounds came together, it virtually was non-visible to a lot of the autopsies that were done. So they just said it was a natural cause of a heart attack. This is the science of science. And there are a lot of doctors who don't know because they're not looking for this kind of stuff. And then there are those who do. And this is stuff that's able to be found. Let us not believe, and let us not give power to the words of Secretary of State John Kerry, who, while in Germany touring, said of Americans, "Americans have the right to be stupid." Mm. Let's prove him wrong.
Wow.
And that means turn off your idiot box that is because of a pulsing energy. And there's four components that is traumatizing Americans. Those are physical abuses of all different sorts, psychological abuses of all different sorts, sexual abuses, and technological abuses. These four components and technology, so many people have no clue what's being used against you. Audio spotlight, synthetic telepathy. This make good, solid people think they're hearing voice, hearing God, giving them the and please know, there are people who have gifts, but this is also being manufactured to cause people to do things and believe things they normally would not do.
All right. Listen, we just about ran out of time. You got about 60 seconds to say whatever you need to say.
I'll tell you what, in honor of the gentleman who did the hard work, I have
yes.
a treat.
We've got a life of love that won't ever change.
All right.
Always and forever.
All right. Way to go, Dorothy. That is tremendous. See, that's why we love you, Dorothy. Because you always right on point. But listen, I don't have any more time. I still got Dr. Short, I still got Mary, and I still got Ross, and I got to come back with Larry Pinkney and Ralph Porn. So I got to say good. Thank you, and thank you so much for the work you do.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
All right. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinkney, I'm here.
How you
and
doing?
I am blessed, and just listening to Larry Pinkney and listening to Ralph and the others tear into my Harvard classmate, Barack Insane Obama, is such a treat. Thank you for getting the truth out there.
Hey, appreciate that, my brother. Appreciate that, you know, because it's amazing. And we don't have a whole lot of time. I got to bring on Mary. I got to leave you right now, Dr. Shaw. I just want the people to hear your voice.
Okay.
All right. Let me go to Mary. Mary, you there? Mary, are you there? All right. Let me go to Ross.
Here, and I'm so blessed, and the show was so fantastic. Standing ovation to everybody, what you're doing. The work that you're doing, every single person, no matter what color you are, we must come together with God's love, God's caring, and help each other. And each week I've said that the state of California is killing off injured workers by denying their benefits and not paying them. It's a sin. It's disgusting. We have a president that let four men die in Benghazi. These are not phony scandals. These are real scandals. And the other night he was in my neighborhood, Woodland Hills, which I didn't realize it, or I would have got some signs and gone over there to the hotel. And thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for doing this. You are just a man of God. It's the most incredible thing, your love for America, for everyone. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, too. Listen, Dr. Short, hang with me. Don't leave me. All right.
All right.
Okay. You got something to say? Make it fast.
Reverend Pinkney?
Yes.
There's a Rage Against the Media meeting on Saturday morning at the Federal Building in Westwood from 10 to 1.
And
people
want everybody to show up, right?
Right, and people are starting to stand up and speak up, and we need everyone. Let's get smart. Let's help everybody. Like I've said every week, help everybody learn. Help everybody to get a job. Even if your job is at home and your business is at home, we must help each other to succeed. Who wants
all right.
to live
okay,
in the world of Russia?
I got to let you go.
Okay.
All right. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And again, educate and organize. You are doing both, and both of these things are necessary for us to move forward. And if we remember just a little bit of what we heard today, we're going to get there sooner rather than later. Free to land, et cetera. On the move, et cetera. We will never forget, et cetera. And it goes on and on. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. Thank you so much, Ralph. Larry Pinkney, are you there?
Yes, I am, my brother. All I want to say is each one, reach one. each one, teach one. Onward, my sisters and brothers, onward. There's a lot of work to do, and we, the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, we will do it. All power to the people. Thank you, my dear brother.
All right, my brother. Love you, man, and stay strong.
Love you, too.
All right. My good friend, Dr. Short.
Yes,
Dr.
Reverend
Short, are you there?
Pinckney,
yes.
I'm here. Reverend Pinckney, I want to make an appeal to Larry Pinckney. And bring to everyone's attention, this Friday, Razikon, husband of Pam Africa, we will be at the Mexican embassy protesting the attack on Afro-Mexicans, some of whom have been on hunger fast for over a month, because we're trying to get before the public the murder of Malcolm X's grandson. It's an assassination, and we can prove it. We need help. The story is being suppressed. An Afro-Mexican man was murdered 2 years to the day, beaten the same way as Malcolm Chabazz. And everyone is running from us. We need to get the story out. We'll be there Friday, the 16th of August at 10 a.m., 1911 Pennsylvania Avenue. Please let everyone know we want the truth. For Trayvon, for Malcolm, for the young boy who, Anthony Cody Ingham, who was hung on the 16th of last month. All these murders, we must come together. And in particular, if they can murder an American national in Mexico, grandson of a civil rights, human rights legend, and nothing be done, all of us can be killed.
You are so right, too. You are right on point with this. And it's amazing when you sit down and think about it, how these things go unnoticed. Nobody wants to talk about it. So let's start talking about it, Dr. Short, and maybe
there's
we can get some folks there in Washington for you.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy. Part of it's on the West Coast. Part of it's on the East Coast. There's a conspiracy how the story got out, how the lies were told about how the young man was killed. None of this has been proven true. And yet there have been no retractions, no apologies. It is amazing that this didn't really happen. I don't care whether he was troubled or untroubled. We know that the system is unfair. And just as sure as they want to kill Lynn Stewart and anyone else that stands up, they wanted this young man dead.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, Dr. Short, let's see, can we get somebody to get you some support out there? We'll do what we can. What day is it going to be? August 16th?
It's going to be Friday the 16th. It's this Friday.
That's coming up, right? That's the Friday, this Friday
that's
coming
right.
up. Okay,
that's
with
right.
those of you who live in Oakland, I mean Washington, D.C., let's get out there and support Dr. Short. Can we do that? All right, then, here. Mary, are you there yet? She's not there. But anyway, let me go on and say we're going to continue to fight this battle. We're going to continue to boycott everything. The key word is not one thing, it's everything. And we're going to boycott, boycott, boycott. We're going to show them what we're capable of doing. The word is spreading all through Hollywood, and we're going to have make sure that people be prepared. Also, 2014, we will have Occupy the PGA. And we're hoping that Danny Glover will lead the march at Occupy the PGA. We're going to make sure that people around the country understand that we're serious about what we're doing. And we will continue this fight, and we don't have any intention of sitting allowing this to continue. And those of you who can be in Washington, D.C., please support Dr. Short. And also, those of you who can send money to Larry Pinckney, please don't hesitate. We need a strong soldier like him. We need him. We need him. We need him. Those of you, also, don't forget T.I.'s. If you want the letter that was sent to that was in the Washington newspaper, in the souvenir book, over the film, please send $250. It's going to take $250 to get it in the book. So those of you who are out there who's willing, let's do it. If you want to do it, we're moving to the next level. But the most important thing people have to understand is not one thing, it's everything. And that's why we fight. That's why we show up. That's why we show out. We show people what we're really made of. And it takes strong people to understand that there's a war going on, and we're right in the middle. Also, we're thinking about charging Obama with war crimes. I'm going to be talking to some people who's willing to take this thing to a whole different level, and we want to make sure that people understand that we are serious about what we do and maintain that. And also, I want to thank everybody for listening. I tell you, the audience is growing. My goal is to have a 500,000, and we're right at a 500,000. And we're getting there. We're getting there. We're not there yet now. So don't say I said we got a 500,000. We don't have it, but we're getting there. We're getting that close. But I want people to understand that we have to stand together, fight together, and we can win this battle. My words are, we can win. But you got to want to do it. It's going to take work. And it's that faith without work is dead. So let's get out there and do something, and let's take care of our business. Let's make sure everybody is accountable. You got all hands on deck. Let's do it. And we have just ran out of time. Let's listen to a little Harold Melvin and the Blue Note.
Come on. Mention everything.